Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Thanks for joining us wherever you are. Joining me today in the studio, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Sherry Denham, and we're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Come join us. It's a great day for New Life.
I really appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that the children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean...
What's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord, and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Sherry Denham.
Hello.
Hi, Steve.
Sherry, so sorry that you were not important enough to be on our calendar as having had a birthday last Sunday. And,
Flew under the radar.
I promise
once
you,
again. Woohoo!
We are going to elevate you to calendar status. And next year, you will be on the calendar.
You have to be here before you get on the calendar. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But anyway, so sorry about that. But happy birthday.
Right. Thank
birthday.
You.
This was
Thank
the
you.
Big 6-0, huh?
Yeah. Hello.
Okay, you're always doing that.
Is there
to
any
us?
Soap I can put in this man's mouth right now?
just kidding. No, yeah. you don't look a day over.
29.
Exactly.
All right, 39. I'll
okay,
give you
day over 39. Anyway, happy birthday to you. And
thank you.
Your parents got together and produced you.
My mom reminded me of that when I spoke to her.
She's going, gave herself credit.
She did. Yeah. She did. You should be happy. Yeah, because she reminded me that she had a really horrible, she had kidney failure when she was having me and blood clots. She almost died. She had 106 temperature.
Mm.
So I got to hear the whole story again. But I am very grateful to be here, you know?
You know, I remember growing up, my mother had, I think, a difficult pregnancy with my older brother. And I remember when he would get in trouble, she would remind him of that. I don't know if that was healthy or not, but
I've heard it over and over again. Yeah. Like, I know,
well,
Mom.
You did.
I know, Mom. I'm so happy you brought me into this world. Yeah.
Well, you didn't turn out so. You didn't turn out so bad. So it's not the most unhealthy.
Maybe God had other plans.
He did, didn't he? I'm here, right? I'm here. So,
getting my papers.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I forgot.
Okay. I thought you were grabbing a birthday card for me, you know?
No.
A little surprise.
We're
balloons under the desk.
We're not going that far. All right. 1-800-229-3000 is the phone number to call. Now, in the next hour, like we're live right now. This is the real deal. But in the next hour, we're going to record a show on the impact of sexual addiction on the family. So if you are someone affected by it, or you're affecting someone with your sexual addiction, or just your obsession with lust or sex or whatever, in the next hour, call us at 1-800-229-3000. Now, some of you know that I've produced this show on CMT Network called Last Dates Before I Do, and the network's deciding whether or not to turn that into a series or not. And so would you just pray that God's will would be done through all of that? Not necessarily that it's picked up, because it might be the worst disaster in the world. You know, it could cause people to divorce or something. I don't know. But anyway, if you would pray for the CMT decision on Last Dates Before I Do, I would sure appreciate that. One other note. On November the 18th, I'll be up in Mississauga, up in the Canada area, for the Built for Battle Promise Keepers Canada Conference. I'd love for you to come and join me for that. And we've got an Everyman's Battle coming up. When we come back, I want to retract some advice that was given on the November 4th show. So if you want to hear a retraction,
wow.
Stay tuned.
That's retraction.
We never retract. But,
I know. I'm waiting with bated breath.
But this one, I think, is worthy of retraction. Mm-hmm. So we're going to correct, modify, and retract from November the 4th. We'll be back after this.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Steve, John, and Mylan were on the air on November the 4th.
Oh, phew. Sherry, it wasn't us.
No. I know.
And we gave the...
Maybe that's why. If one of us were there,
it wouldn't have happened.
No,
we
don't know
no
that
question
yet.
About it.
We have to find out what was retracted first.
But anyway, we gave the impression that it might be okay not to fully disclose your sexual sin in some instances. The reason we gave that impression is because we said that. So it gave that impression. And I think it's the wrong answer. I think that every person that has been betrayed, as I was betrayed several times in my life, every person is entitled to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. A person, you don't have the right to say, oh, I don't want to destroy this person with this information, or the marriage might fall apart. You have the right to say, I need to create the best scenario under which this full disclosure is made.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in my mind, if you have any doubts about it, you need to be doing it in front of a counselor, and the counselor needs to know that you need to do it and help you figure out the right timing to do it.
And it may be more than one time of disclosing. You know, sometimes we can overwhelm a person with bombarding them with everything at once. And so, you know, the way in which you disclose is up for discussion.
Right.
But I don't think it's okay for one person to decide what another person can handle.
Yeah. Well, I know when I was betrayed, there was a 6-month period between the betrayal and me knowing about it. And I was really bugged that if something hadn't happened, I might not have ever known about it. Well, the intimacy would have never been there. It was a problem anyway. So anyway, I'm just saying.
And then there's the biblical principle about your sins will find you out.
Absolutely.
You know, and I have had situations where, you know, now even more with Facebook, that people are connecting.
Yeah.
Spouses who've been betrayed are connecting through friends of friends, and all of a sudden these things are found out.
Yep.
So if it's not disclosed and kept as a secret hidden away,
mm-hmm.
and it does come out, it breaches so much trust.
Right.
There is a whole other breaking that even goes deeper. So
my thanks to Lee, Sandra, Jay, Tom, T.M., Sandra, and others who brought it to our attention that we probably had not given the best advice. Now, the reason you never hear us do this is because we always give great advice. No. It is rare, though, that we have to modify something because the people on this program are smart. But we'll modify that, and I hope that takes care of that. I don't ever want to talk about it again.
Well, thank you. And I just want to say thank you, Steve, for doing that. That
You're
builds
welcome.
A lot of confidence in me just being here and for our listenership that we hear them. We hear them.
Yeah.
And
well, we're going to have to retract something you said, but we don't want to overwhelm people. With it
yeah, I know. That I was
so timing.
39, my birthday. All right, I'll retract.
All right. Okay, let's go to Jody from Rutland, Vermont. Listens on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hello, Jody. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question today is about my 17-year-old son. He lives with us, my husband and I, in our home, and he is, we know he admits that he smokes cigarettes. We also know that he smokes some marijuana. He hasn't done it in a while because we do regularly urine test him, randomly regularly urine test him, and he's resentful of that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, do we have any recourse? You said in the past that, you know, don't buy him a car, attach college money, all that stuff. He already has a car that we helped him buy.
Mm, take it away.
What recourse do we have?
Take it away.
Take the car away?
Yeah.
All right. So continue to urine test him?
Well, I think you need to give him consequences, and you need to have a plan to try to build something back into the relationship, too, whether it's the three of you going to counseling or something. There needs to be something reparative here versus all consequences. But if I had a son that was living in my house who says, yeah, I smoke and I smoke pot, you can't let it go on. So I think you need to continue to know.
So it's not just about stopping behavior.
Right.
It's about really finding out why the behavior is important to this person. What is causing this behavior to be there?
So tell us about that. What is the reason?
Well, he says that the popular students in school don't accept him. They don't want to be friends. They don't need another friend. They have enough friends. So the people who do accept him into the group are these kids that have similar behavior.
Oh, okay.
It didn't
used to be
like this.
I didn't understand that. I mean, since it's all about being accepted by friends, do whatever it takes to be accepted. I mean, you got to jump in on that and really help him understand the thinking that's there, that I will do whatever it takes to be accepted.
And how do I do that? We have talked ad nauseum about this, and he just doesn't.
I think you need to get with a counselor.
Now we live in Vermont. There are no Christian counselors.
Yes, sir.
I have found.
Yes, sir. We'll help you find one.
Great.
But even if you had to drive 2 hours, let's say, to go to a counselor, I mean, it's your son. He's 17.
Yeah.
He's about to be uncontrollable because he's going to be 18.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a little opportunity for influence here. And I think you really need to combine the urine testing and the consequences. And probably the reason you haven't taken the car away is that's going to be really inconvenient, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. But if you did that, and then you said, now that we know where we are here, we need to work on this relationship to get your car back.
Okay.
Hey, Jody, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I know, well, he hasn't in the past 2 months smoked marijuana because it's not showing up in the urine test. But I do know he smokes cigarettes. Is that serious, you think?
Well, people that smoke cigarettes usually smoke marijuana if they're young and 17. You know, it's usually they don't go, I'll smoke this, but I won't smoke that. They'll smoke anything that you put in front of them. Because it's the culture.
Under the right circumstances.
Yeah, it's the culture that they have chosen to be in that smokes.
Okay.
So, Steve, are you saying to take the car away now when he's not in a season of offense? He's actually been drug tested and clean.
No, if he uses marijuana again,
okay,
they need to take the car away.
To let him know ahead of time that that's something they're going to be doing.
We've never done this, but I want to be sure you know.
Yeah.
We're going to take the car away if
it's an illegal drug. We don't want you driving under the influence of an illegal drug.
We're also going to take it away if within the next 90 days you don't learn how to quit smoking. Would be another thing. Because you don't want your son smoking while he's driving. Distracted and all that. And then the other thing is, and because we love you so much, while we've got you here, we're going to try to rebuild this relationship, and we're going to get in front of somebody. If we determine that we live in a remote area of Vermont that has no counseling whatsoever, we're going to go see a youth pastor somewhere, and we're going to talk about this so that we can have a great relationship for the rest of our lives.
I would also be looking for a drug treatment program, perhaps an outpatient program. There are often programs where you can go several times a week as a family. I know we have them here in Southern California.
Yep.
I don't know what you have in Vermont. But I think you have to do everything you can to help this kid, because what he's learning is a false sense of acceptance and intimacy. Because I guarantee you, he gives up the pot, he gives up the cigarettes. The friends aren't going to really want to hang out with him. because right. that's their then, common bond.
That's right, and then he'll have no friends.
Does he? Is he in a youth group or anything, Jody?
There. Yes, our church has a good youth group, but those are not the kids he's interested in being with. They look different and they act different, and they don't talk about the same things that he talks about. I don't even know if he's saved, honestly.
Where's Dad in all this stuff? Does he have any kind of relationship with him?
My husband, yes. They have. I am more of a hard nose, and Scott is an easier going person. We both agree. We have taken the car away. He has lost it for multiple weeks at a time. Every time we catch him smoking pot, it gets taken away for a longer and longer period of time. You know, he has to pay for his own cell phone now, because if he can afford cigarettes, then he can certainly afford to pay for his cell phone.
Good.
I mean, we've done that stuff, and
it
makes him angry, and he says things like, are you ever going to let me forget this sort of thing?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
When you stop and you turn your life around and you're more interested in character than in being accepted by a group of kids.
Well, I think you let him know that his behavior is giving the two of you as his parents a signal that he needs more guidance from you. So I would be spending more time with him. I would create more father-son outings. He's not feeling accepted, so it kind of starts at home.
You know, my wife is a really good parent, and one of the things she said to our 14-year-old when he started going to parties, when you come home, if you're not going to talk to me about what you're doing at the parties and what happened and give me the details and all, you're not going to go. You got to be talking to me and telling me. Otherwise, I believe that it's inappropriate for you to go. You're hiding something or whatever. And so they had these great discussions about what happened. So one of the things, say, if you want privileges here, we got to be talking. You can't just slam the door and go in your room. And, boy, I heard the classic way adults do this, too, when they have problems. Honey, it's not about you. It's me. Isn't that a great way to shut down all communication between you and a spouse you're having trouble with? Anyway, back to this. There are a lot of things that you can do. I hope that you continue on the path that you're on. You guys are obviously responsible parents. But you just are missing, I think, a little bit of repair work there.
And there's an ache. Right. There's an ache in your son's heart.
You betcha.
I mean, he's feeling really alone. You kind of look at kids, and it's sad to me. My heart is aching just hearing this because, the kids in the drug culture, we get each other.
Yeah.
We accept each
right.
other, and
right.
we're feeling our parents are frustrated with us, and we kind of bond.
Right.
And we bond with the drugs, and we feel like we're going deep. But you're right, Jill, you mentioned earlier that, take that away, and who are they?
Mm-hmm.
But trying to recreate that environment, and I'm picturing this kid, he's probably he dresses kind of, the culture and going to church and looking at all these kids going, what are they wearing?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't quite fit in, but somebody's got to hear that little guy's heart because he feels like he doesn't fit in. And until you start having those conversations, you're going to lose him.
Right.
You've got to get to that core level of the ache that's in his heart. It's social anxiety of I don't fit anywhere
yeah.
but here.
Right. Okay. I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of John and Henry's book, Boundaries with Teens. I hope that that's something that will help you. Let's go to Danielle from Los Angeles, listening on KKLA. Hello, Danielle.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay, too. Sure you are.
That's why you're calling.
How can we help?
I had a question about how to restore a relationship after you've been traumatized by someone, I guess.
Who traumatized you?
Well, my mom did, and actually we used to be really close, and then it seemed really suddenly she just stopped wanting to have a relationship with me, and I tried talking to her about it, and she would shut down the conversation. And then I started finding out that she was telling other people really bad things about me, that I was lying and stealing and manipulating, that I had a split personality.
Why would she do that? What's behind all that?
I'm not really sure. She said that Jesus is telling her things about me. So I don't know if she's... I don't know. And she's caused my dad stopped talking to me because of what she was saying. My brother has almost completely stopped talking to me.
So everybody's believing Mom.
How confusing and scary for you, yeah. Danielle.
Yeah. It's been really hard.
We can hear that.
Was her mother mentally ill?
She's never had her mother in her life, and her mother figure was very narcissistic. She had a lot of trauma as a child.
No difficulty believing that. Yeah. All right, we'll talk to you about it right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Okay, what do you guys think? This is a pretty tough situation.
Well, you know, I was just chatting here, you know, going, where is the split personality coming from? I'm not so sure, Danielle, that it's you. It sounds like your mom is really splitting herself, struggling with her trauma, and it's called projection, like when somebody kind of puts something on us that really doesn't belong to us, but maybe that's going on in their world. You know, when someone starts saying things like you're lying, stealing, manipulating, and then even goes to the point of saying Jesus is telling your stuff about you, I start kind of going, that's different, that's strange, that doesn't sound healthy.
It sounds a little bit psychotic.
Yeah.
And sometimes we can tap into those pockets.
Yeah. So
how do we know it's psychotic? Because she says Jesus is telling her stuff, and we're believing you that the stuff Jesus is telling her isn't true. Right?
Yeah.
Because you're saying you're stealing.
There's
is
no
a big
level
deal.
Of truth.
Are you
to any
stealing
of it,
anything?
Danielle?
There's absolutely. I mean, I don't have a split personality. I've never been a danger to anyone. I walk closely with God. I never steal.
Okay, so you need to have a talk with your father.
I ended up talking with him, and now he's talking with me again.
Dad, I was talking to some professionals about this, and Mom's really sicker than you and I are giving her credit for. the fact that she's saying Jesus is telling her things, and the fact that I can guarantee
that Jesus is telling her things that aren't true.
Yeah, and that I can guarantee they're not true. That is psychosis, Dad. That's not lying. That's not exaggerating.
Yeah,
that's,
you're right, Steve.
That's the way psychotic behavior happens, is somebody says, I was told something. And then if you prove that it isn't true, then if it's
but
coming...
But they believe it's
and they,
true.
And they believe
you know,
it's coming from God.
She's not lying because she believes it's true.
Right. So she cannot help herself, Dad. We have to help her. The proper medication for this will change her life and my relationship with her forever. And your relationship with her, Dad.
And Danielle, you, I think, are getting the unique perspective of perhaps feeling what it felt like to your mom growing up.
Good point,
You're being Jill. Put in that position. And that's what happens a lot of time when people start to act out their trauma. They act it out in ways, like Sherry was saying, where they put it on someone else, and you now are getting to feel that. This is what it was like for her, and that's why she's hitting up against, you know, this psychosis in her life. That's why it's coming out in this way.
So
it was too much for her to bear growing up.
Yeah. So Danielle, this is Sherry, and I am going to share a little bit of my past with you, just because I want to just touch your heart here in a way that's really personal. My mom went through a period of time where she had a break and was in a psychotic place, not healthy, saying things, she heard things, whether it was Jesus or other people. And it's kind of crazy making to the people that are in their world, to their family, because at some point you start asking, now, is this me or is it them?
Because this is your mom, right?
Yeah, it's somebody
right?
that
look
you
up
believe.
To our parents.
Right, right. And so we had to get her help. But I just want to just affirm to you, because it sounds like you're trying to find truth, and just we want to tell you, you're okay. You know, your mom needs help, and somebody needs to be getting her that help. So when Steve said, go to your dad, he's just really directing you to get her in to see somebody.
To see a psychiatrist.
Well, yeah.
And to be evaluated.
My parents are actually divorced, but they are they're friends. It's kind of odd. I will talk to him. And then I know she's working with a therapist. I guess she's working on how to deal with a daughter that's mentally ill.
Would your mom take you to a session?
That's kind of where my question is now. I have a therapist, and my therapist is kind of pushing me to meet with my mom. And I wanted to before, but this has been going on for a year and a half. So at this point, it's like I'm so hurt that now it's hard.
Yeah.
But now you know that she's really sick, see? So
yeah.
can you let that take care of that hurt there, knowing she doesn't know what she's doing? She's probably sicker than even her therapist realizes.
Because sometimes if you just sit in front of somebody and you're just hearing the story, you don't have the context of the story, you don't have any other family members, it's kind of like...
It can sound plausible.
It totally sounds plausible.
Mm-hmm.
It totally sounds plausible. And and so you're really trying to figure out how to bring truth to the situation so your mom can get help. I mean, sometimes therapists who are working with family members will sign releases that allow us to talk to the other therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, you know, I would see if you want to sign a release with your therapist and her therapist so the therapist can talk. But somehow truth in the context needs to come out in order for your mom to get help.
I think that's what we did. What my therapist had said was that the point of the meeting would be to come to a place where we could, you know, be in the same room at family functions, because I told her that I couldn't handle.
But now you know she's really sick, see? So couldn't you handle it now? And wouldn't it have give you more credibility if you weren't upset about her and because you understood the illness? And so when people looked at you and they saw she doesn't seem to be bothered by this, it must not be true. This lady must have a problem. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's not easy to get there.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Sherry Denham. And glad you're with us here today. I want to remind you, today is Thursday. It's the last day you can sign up for Every Man's Battle in Atlanta. So if you have a problem with sexual integrity, sexual addiction, lust, or if you know somebody, the most effective thing you can do is say, okay, this thing starts tomorrow. You call them right now and you go there. It really can make a big difference. Also, the next hour, 30 minutes from now, we're going to do a show on the impact of sexual addiction and lust addiction and all of that, lack of sexual integrity on the family. If you have a phone call related to that, you call us and we'll help you. Let's go to G from Birmingham, Alabama. Listens on XM Satellite Radio. Hello, G.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you?
I've only heard of one other person named G. That was G. Gordon Liddy.
I'm not him. I'm calling, and I thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'd like to know what action I should take. I've been married over 13 years. Both my wife and I have been married before. We were both abandoned by our spouses. She was abandoned by her husband, who committed adultery with her next-door neighbor and married her subsequent. And my problem is this. I believe that she has become involved again with her former spouse.
Why do you think that?
Well, I've noticed repairs have been done around the house, and when I ask her who did them, she would always give me an informal name. It wasn't a company. It was always a friend of a friend, and I let it go. But
you didn't say, hey, you know, I'm really worried that your ex-husband's coming over here and fixing stuff.
Yeah, but recently, some things were missing. My personal items was missing out of the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her. I said, where are my personal, there's equipment and tools that's missing. And she said, well, I hired a guy to clean out the basement. I said, well, these things that he took, these are personal. Some of them are gifts of 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, tell me what you're missing and I'll just give you a check for it. And I said, no, I, you can't pay for these.
Give me a check.
Yeah, that, she's you guys your wife. Are, yeah. That sounds a little distant.
Very.
And I said to her, I said, no, we need to, I need to contact this person and retrieve my personal items. And she told me, well, I have to find his number. And I said, well, just go ahead and find his number. And so this went on, and a day later I said, you know, I still need the number of this person who took my personal property from the house. And she said, well, I spoke with him, and he said he put it in a dumpster. And I said, I need to talk to this man. And she just said, well, I'm not going to tell you who he is.
Wow. Okay, so she's having an affair.
And I said,
she's having an affair with her previous spouse. Let's just assume that's true. So now we need to help you figure out what is the next best step. So, honey, are you willing for us to get some help together? Because you've chosen either a strange repair person over me, or you're having an affair with your ex. Are you willing to get some help?
Have you been that candid with her, G?
Well, I haven't. I just asked her to just tell me the truth, and she just responds, well, you don't answer my questions. Why should I answer your questions?
Okay, honey, we're not answering each other's questions. Let's go get a counselor to help us answer each other's questions. I have nothing to hide. I hope you don't either. But she does have something to hide. That's just bizarre behavior.
Yeah, it's all a cover up.
Something doesn't feel right about it.
So what's difficult, G, about being bold and asking her?
Well, I did ask her, and I told her that she needs to tell me the truth, that we're not going to be business as usual, and so we've just been at an impasse.
But about the affair, what's difficult about saying, I believe you're having an affair, we need to get some help? Because it feels like you're kind of hedging your bets. This has been going on for some time.
Yes, it has.
So,
well, and tell me the truth, someone who's trying to cover something up, she's only going to tell you what she thinks you already know. So tell me the truth. Well, she's not going to, because a cover-up is a lie. So you're asking her to do something she's already proven she's not willing to do.
Excellent point.
So the question is she willing to get some help to repair the marriage or not?
I will ask that question.
And G, I think instead of coming at it like kind of demanding that she be honest with you and that she tell you, I think you have to maybe take a different approach, a more humble approach. You know, like, you know, I've been thinking about the fact that you said I don't answer your questions. And, you know, I'm so sorry, because now I really know how that feels. And I would hate for you to feel like I'm feeling now. And it makes me think that, you know, maybe we're kind of missing each other. And this situation that seems to be turning into a bigger deal than seems necessary is highlighting that we need to find a way to connect with each other in a way that we haven't been able to.
What do you think?
What do you think, G?
I think that's a great counsel.
Okay.
And I guess I would just add one more thing. It may be quite different in the sense of, I'm curious about, you seem to get really angry when your personal items were taken out of the garage. Like, you could kind of tap into some anger. But I'm not so sure that I'm hearing anger because of the hurt or pain in light of her having an affair. I mean, I'm kind of hearing you just seem kind of calm and kind and methodical.
It's more, more about the 30-year-old tools.
Pardon me?
I was saying it seems like there's more feeling about the 30-year-old tools.
Yeah. Then my wife is with another man, and I'm not happy about that. And
forget the tools.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't just the tools. It was the lying.
Right.
And almost, I just didn't think she would cross those boundaries.
Yeah.
And it's not the tools. It was just her almost indifference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get
that. Without any regard for not the tools, but what about my trust? What about
right.
this violation?
Sure.
She needs to hear your heart. See, the tools are the vehicle that you were hoping to use to get to the truth. But you're right. That isn't the issue. And so, again, I would just echo taking that softer approach and being more vulnerable with her would be better than the demanding approach or the angry approach.
KG, I'm glad you called us. I'm going to send you a copy of Walking Into Walls. I hope that's going to help you get out of this funk and get both of you into counseling. And, man, I really, really feel for mm-hmm. what you're going through there. Obviously, there is something going on. Let's go to Lynn from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Again, if you have a call about sexual addiction, sexual integrity in the next hour, that's going to be the program, the impact on the family. Lynn from Pittsburgh, how are you?
Hi, okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
Okay, my question is kind of three-part. First, how should I respond to my son's statements about his life now versus his life before? Is this information valuable to his psychotherapist? And if it is, should I bring it up in front of his dad when we have a meeting with his therapist next week?
Okay, so, what are you talking about?
Okay, my son is 11. He has PDD. Which was diagnosed in 2007 after his dad walked out on us. When he first walked out, both of them have anger issues. Of course, my son's being treated. His dad, I don't know that his is. When his dad first walked out, I took them to therapy. They never got along. I mean, every time I'd pull in the garage, all I could hear was, his dad screaming at him and him crying while, when I got up, was getting out of the car and everything, and then his dad would just disappear for the evening. So they never got along. We went to therapy right after his dad moved out, and the psychiatrist, after prompting him about how he'll probably feel sad over this, asked him how he really felt, and he jumped up and down cheering, just all excited that his dad was moving out. Spent weeks trying to convince her that he shouldn't have to go see him on the weekends. And about a year later, he kept asking when the divorce would be final so that his dad wouldn't be his dad anymore.
Okay, and you're asking, should you tell the therapist all this or not?
Yeah, well, this is the thing I need to know about telling the therapist is, last week he said to me, I wish that my life now was like it used to be when my dad and I got along.
Okay. Mm. All right, we'll talk about it.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back, talking with Lynn about her son. Now, we wanted to define PDD for everybody that doesn't know what PDD is.
So, we're looking at pervasive developmental disorder, Lynn?
Yes.
And when was he diagnosed?
In 2007. Prior to that, I mean, he had symptoms and everything of having issues, but his dad wouldn't let him be treated or be tested. So it wasn't until his dad moved out that I was able to get him tested.
Can you just give us an idea of a few of the symptoms that you saw back in 2007?
He couldn't transition from things. He couldn't, like, you know, if he was having story time at preschool and they were going to go to sandbox time, he would, like, even though he liked sandbox time, he'd throw a fit. He would just break down and bawl. He couldn't move from one thing to another. He's very much alone. Like, he doesn't want to didn't want to socialize or talk to anybody. You know, he just wanted to play by himself. He didn't want anyone playing with him.
Okay. All right. So, did you have a question about whether or not to tell your therapist something about him?
Well, yeah. This past week, he started talking about how he wished his life was better, that, like, you know, he got along with his dad when the way he did when he was little. Well, and he never did get along with his dad when he was little, you know. But in his mind, he is now, I guess, because he's not happy right now with, you know, and probably school. He's got a lot of homework and stress and stuff with school and dealing with this. So in his
mind, things would be better.
That's
life
his fantasy.
That he used to have.
Yes, and you should tell the therapist about that.
Excuse me?
Yes, you should tell the therapist
about
that.
So,
but is
Lynn,
the question to tell the therapist in his presence?
Well, the thing is we have the therapist has sent us a letter that he wants to meet with us during Colton's session next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know whether to bring this fact up that, you know, that he remembers. I don't know how much his dad knows about.
I wouldn't bring it up with the therapist and Colton there in the same room for the first time that you're meeting with the therapist in maybe a while. I think you ought to talk with the therapist beforehand.
Okay, but even before, because his dad's supposed to be at this meeting too. Should I talk to him even without the dad there too?
Well,
or do you think?
What about her just calling?
I think you can call and just leave a message.
Yeah, leave a message
and say, you know, I didn't know if this was appropriate to bring up in the session. I just want to inform you about. And leave the message and ask her to let you know how she would like you to handle these types of things when you have information that you feel like is pertinent. Is it okay to leave a message for her?
All right, yeah. And like, so what do I say to my son? Do I tell him? Do I say, well...
No, just wait till the therapist handles it.
Okay.
That's why you're going to the therapist.
Yeah, okay. Well, so I didn't know if I should, you know, when he's sitting here, you know, crying to me about his life being better... I didn't know whether I should say, well, you know, it's not really that it's better, Cole. You know, do I want to, you know, how do I console him?
Do you know what? I think that I would tell him that that would be something good to talk about with his therapist.
Oh, great idea.
And to encourage him to bring that up. And I would also, you know, be comforting of his sadness that he wishes things were different with his dad. I wouldn't emphasize how it used to be. But that he really wants things to be different with his dad. That it's so hard having them be at odds. And you know, it's interesting, Lynn, because it sounds like his dad couldn't tolerate knowing the truth about his son.
Mm.
He couldn't tolerate him being assessed and a diagnosis.
Well, and that's true, because the first thing he said when the psychologist was telling us, when's he going to outgrow it?
Right, because... You know, it's like, this is my son, this is an extension of me, you know, this isn't what I envisioned. But your son is having a hard time tolerating the truth, too, that he and dad haven't had a good relationship, right? He wants it to be all good, dad wants it to be all good. So in that way, there's a similarity.
No wonder they're missing each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lynn, when you say that the relationship hasn't ever been good, did your husband yell at your son even as a small child?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
so he, from the beginning. Your husband has been a rageaholic and has been raging over this little boy for the term of his life.
The little boy not meeting his expectations.
Right. Would you say that's true?
That is definitely true. Mm.
Because I was just sitting here during the break, and I just thought, you know, is this PDD or is this a result of a little boy being traumatized by a rageaholic father? I'm not trying to remove the diagnosis, okay? So don't, I want you to hear that because you've had professionals to diagnose them. But when you've got a child that's been in the presence of somebody that's raging over them, that's traumatic. It disorganizes them. It disorganizes the way that they live and think and play. They have internalized a fear of danger. They fear like they can't trust anyone. They become hypervigilant.
What are they going to do to set dad off?
Exactly. Right? So there's all kind, there's layers here. I don't think it's just one thing.
Mm-hmm. So first step, talk to the therapist.
Yes.
Ask for a call back. Mm-hmm. Leave the message. Yep. And work with the therapist on what to reveal.
Yep.
But boy, you really nailed it there. That it could be a misdiagnosis.
Or a layered diagnosis, you know. Maybe there was
more than
this,
one thing going on,
and but you know, you got to look at the fact that you got a kid that's been traumatized all his life. Hello, you know, it's gonna be hard to live in the world that way.
And then dad left because of him.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me send you a copy of "Raising Great Kids." I hope that will help you. John Henry wrote that. Next hour, which is going to start in 8 minutes. We're going to do a program on the impact of sexual addiction, lust addiction, sexual integrity issues on the family. So if you'd like to join Sherry, Jill, and Steve on that, please call us. Also, it's the last chance to sign up for the Everyman's Battle Workshop in Atlanta. It starts tomorrow, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, in January, we have a Healing is a Choice intensive weekend coming up. If you are experiencing depression, anxiety, conflict in your marriage, if you are struggling to find out what God wants from you, if there are ungrieved losses, these are the things that people come to Healing is a Choice for, and they make some great choices. We saw some amazing choices made at Lose It for Life just this last weekend. Sherry, you go to these. Why do you?
I was just sitting here smiling. Mm-hmm. I love these weekends. I wait every month we have them. I anticipate because there's so many changes that happened in that concentrated environment. I mean, these folks are prayed over by name. We've got licensed therapists in the room. You're in a small group. And God shows up. So it's just a recipe for breakthrough. And I love it. It bolsters my faith, and I get to see people come free. And you think about all of that happening on a weekend, and I say, come.
Yeah.
Really, it's worth the investment you're going to make. You'll come out different. So,
thank you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you want to be part of that. Also, please help us. If you're thinking about a year-end gift, giving a year-end gift sooner than later sure does help us. Just to be sure that we don't end up in the same trouble we ended up with in October, which you guys came through in such a great way. You know, Revelations 3:15 says that the Lord really wants you to either be hot or cold. And if you're lukewarm, you're spewed out of his mouth. So either get on mission with God or don't. But just to be a Christian and not really use the gifts that God has given you, reach other people, it's kind of like being lukewarm. Not a good place to be. And one of the ways you can be hot for God is in your giving, in your generosity. And when God has hold of that pocketbook, he has hold of your life. That's what I found, or hold of your checkbook or debit card or whatever it is. So let God take over and call us, help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll see you next time right here. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries,
P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.